Good morning, RBN listeners. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report on Tuesday, August 9th. If you haven't pledged a contribution to the RBN Pledge Drive, please do so. RBN needs your support to keep bringing you quality programming like the Revisionist Report. Now, Eberhard Fuhr is back today to tell us about German and Italian internment in the U.S. during World War II. Let me remind you that you can read about him and about others in the entire internee story on two websites, the German-American Internee Coalition, which is GAIC.info, and if you Google just his last name, Fuhr, F-U-H-R, plus GAIC, you will come to his particular page, which is, and then there are, of course, other pages with lots of information. And the other one is Freedom of Information Times, www.foitimes, which you can get to easily by Googling FOI Times. Now, there are other websites, I'm sure, but these are two of the best. Now, we'll be taking calls today. The number is 1-800-313-9443. Hello, Eberhard. Are you on the line?
Yeah, good morning.
Hi. Well, great. Good morning to you. Well, when the program ended yesterday, you had just been released from custody at Ellis Island and were heading for the ferry to New York City, but your parents and brothers waited for their train tickets. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, they wanted to go back to Cincinnati, and they did. And I stayed in New York, and because the lady I met and who was to become my wife a year later, lived in the area, and she got me a place in a rooming house, and I sold insecticide from door to door in New York City for a year.
Okay, that's interesting. So I didn't remember that you had stayed in New York. I was wondering what you would do when you got back to Cincinnati. Before we go on with that part of it, Tell us about what your parents and brothers found when they returned to Cincinnati and how it went for them.
Well, of course, during the course of the internment, my parents were notified by the Cincinnati police and the fire department that the place had been looted. The doors ripped off, windows taken off, everything strewn about, pictures and letters and furniture and what dishes and all that just strewn about the property. And and what did my father intend to do about it? And of course, being incarcerated, he couldn't do anything. The authority said, well, you can go to do this, but you'll have to pay for three guards to go along with you and cover all their expenses and etc. So that was a physical impossibility, financial impossibility to boot. So then we lost the house to foreclosure, and while my parents went back, my father got a job working in bakeries again, and my younger brother enlisted in the U.S. Army. And and during the Korean War, he was in the 1st Infantry Division, but because he knew enough German, they sent him to Germany instead of Korea. And so he was he became a sergeant in the 1st Infantry
okay.
Division.
Okay, all right. Thank you. We'll be right back after a few minutes.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I'm with my guest, Eberhard Fuhrer. And Eberhard, you know, just to clarify to the listeners and bring this home, your whole family was interned in Crystal City, Texas, and your parents got a notification from the government or from some authorities telling them that the house that you had been purchased, they had been purchasing on mortgage and were forced to leave and had been left through no fault of their own, completely unguarded and, you know, just unprotected, had been looted and vandalized and all the possessions and everything that, you know, were strewn all about and probably a lot missing and broken down. Now it was open to everybody. And they could come and do something about it if they'd pay for three guards to guard your father while he tried to take care of it. Well, you know, you're there with no money. Nothing was ever given to you. You know, or any of these people. No, so he had no money to do this with. And the whole thing is a big, terrible, evil joke, really. And it must have been a really hard thing for them to know while they were in Crystal City what had happened. Not just to the house, but to all the possessions. And I think you said one time that it really was hard on your mother.
Yes, Carolyn, my mother, I don't think she ever really got over it. Not the things that cost money, but those things that are totally valueless, but they're nevertheless, they're priceless, like photographs of her parents mm-hmm. back in Germany and letters from home and the pictures, baby pictures, and losing things like that good tablecloth you only put out when the doctor visited or the pastor visited, that kind of thing. And she never really got over that, and that's why I lecture about interment in her memory, because I do it for her sake. Because she was a 53-year-old woman when she was arrested and interned, and 59 years old when she was released. And it's just a travesty when something like this happens. Internment should never be imposed on a lady like that.
When your parents and brothers went back to Cincinnati, did the government give them some money to tide them over, or how did they even manage to do that?
No, they only got the railroad tickets back, and they were strictly on their own. And for the first couple of weeks, they crashed with people until they were able to find an apartment to live in. And
it must not have been a very good one. I mean, this is, you know, when you think about the reality of this, it's pretty tough.
No, as a matter of fact, my younger brother, while he was in the Army, they sent him a bill that he was overpaid in Crystal City, Texas, for his 10 cents an hour job that he had by $2.50.
And no.
Would he please reimburse them promptly?
Oh, no.
And he just took that as a joke initially, but they repeated that request three times. So he finally paid them.
What did your older brother do?
My older brother, we both went to college in St. Peter, Minnesota at Gustavus Adolphus College. And I transferred after a year there to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
And did he finish college?
No, he never finished, but I did. I graduated with highest honors from Ohio U with a degree and Bachelor of Science in Commerce. And then when I left there, I joined Shell Oil Company in Akron, Ohio.
And while you were in college, how did you afford college?
Well, I married Barbara Minner, who was my lady friend, girlfriend in Crystal City. And she put me through school, and then after I began my career, she no longer worked.
Okay, so you were a great couple and really helped each other. All right, so back on to what you were saying about after you got out, you joined Shell Oil Company, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I joined Shell Oil Company in sales and marketing. And in Akron, Youngstown, and was transferred to Cincinnati, Ohio, and that was rather fortuitous because during that time both my parents died, and so it was good to be in the same town with them the last 2 years of their life.
Okay. Yes. Let's go on to. Talking about, we'll get to you. Let's clarify a few things for the listeners, like the Italians. We haven't said much about the Italians. The Germans and Italians were usually kind of lumped together, and there were, am I correct? I've been looking this up, but some websites say that, or the official wiki number is 1,600 Italians that were put in internment and 11,000 Germans. That's about right, is it?
Well, those numbers really don't add up because for a lot of reasons. Even before Pearl Harbor, the United States interned merchant seamen from Italian and German ships that were where they would not permit the seamen to return to their native countries, and there were. Italians were interned in Fort Missoula, Montana, and the Germans in Fort Stanton, New Mexico, and Fort Lincoln, North Dakota. And the civil engineer that designed and supervised the construction of our internment facility swimming pool in Crystal City, Texas, he was an Italian civil engineer from. Who was interned there along with his family
He was from Honduras, you said.
From Honduras, that's correct.
Yeah.
And on the West Coast, the relocation order, the exclusion order for the West Coast included any and all, not just Japanese, but it applied to any and all. And all those Italian fishermen in San Francisco, they had their fishing boats impounded so they couldn't be used on the seas, on the premises that they might be signaling enemy warships and things like that, including Joe DiMaggio's father's fishing boat was impounded, and he lost his livelihood during that entire period.
Yes, and there's a website that says it was 50 as many as, I don't know how correct this is, as many as 52,000 Italian Americans on the West Coast had their daily travels confined to exclusionary zones, and they were subject to dusk to dawn curfews. And then they give the example of Joe DiMaggio's father that, you know, he couldn't even visit his son's restaurant on Fisherman's Wharf. I guess he had that restaurant then because it was outside his zone, you know. Therefore, the zone was even not even like all of San Francisco. It was just some little part of it. So they were really, really restricted.
Yeah, that the exclusion area covered the entire western seaboard. Mm-hmm. Any place that the military felt that they didn't want any aliens or even certain ethnics to be living in them.
Yeah,
and as I said,
and then
it applied to any
Germans
and all
too, right?
I'm sorry.
That included Germans, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it was kind of capricious, too. It wasn't uniformly administered. And but everybody uses that term that it was applied against Japanese only, but that's not true.
Right. Absolutely not. And, you know, there says here on the wiki page that Joe DiMaggio's father lost not only his boat, or had both his boat and his house confiscated. Now, I don't know why his house, but maybe he couldn't pay for it or something after he lost his livelihood. But, you know, a lot was happening to a lot of people, which didn't get any attention naturally, and doesn't even get much attention today except for the Japanese.
That's true. And, but, you know, getting back to this case against this deportation order that was determined by the Circuit Court of Appeals to be legitimate, that we could be deported. And it goes back to the Alien Sedition Act of 1798. The courts said it still applies today, that the executive in time of peril can just determine by executive order who should be deported.
Oh, heck. You know, we've got so many executive orders on the books now that I don't know what they are. And some people study them, but most of us don't know what they are. They've got executive orders that are entirely and totally a totalitarian, you know, I mean, where we really don't have any freedoms or rights if the government in power decides that that it needs to put, you know, that there's some reason to take them away, just like they did here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're going to another break. Ladies and gentlemen, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, but we have a lot yet to cover when we get back.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers, and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit TerraVim.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Jaeger talking with my guest, Eberhard Fuhrer, about German-Italian internment in World War II. We're talking about the Germans and Italians because we don't hear much about them. We know all about the Japanese, and we'll go into more of that later. But, Eberhard, unless you have something else you want to say first, let's talk about the discrepancy between these different groups and how they have been handled afterwards by the U.S. government in the way of apologies and reparations and so on?
Well, for instance, every Japanese, in 1988, there was a commission established that the behest of the Congress that actually issued an apology for the Japanese and awarded each Japanese that was interned, no matter how long interned, $20,000. And that included in Crystal City, Texas, for instance, where there was a family camp and there were about 250 babies born, and about half of those were German, half were Italian or Japanese. And every Japanese baby born there got the apology and $20,000. And born on the very same table, delivered by the same personnel, and if the kid was German, got exactly zero, nothing, and that's true to this day. And the National Park Service has established certain and restored certain internment facilities that were Japanese were, and it only talks about Japanese internment, including on Ellis Island, where very few of the internees that were processed through Ellis Island were Japanese. The overwhelming majority of the the thousands of internees that went through there were mostly almost 100% German. And I might add that at this very commission that established this these benefits for the Japanese, the assistant attorney general at the time of Pearl Harbor, James Rowe, testified that shortly after Pearl Harbor, he said, we arrested 60,000, mostly Germans, and they were given hearings before 90 hearing boards, and what attorneys were not permitted because it was easier that way. And that was borne out by the adjudication at this Schleuder case that was adjudicated on January 2, 1947, where the Circuit Court of Appeals confirmed that no one was permitted, was even entitled to a hearing, much less you couldn't challenge the quality of the hearing because you're not even entitled to it to begin with. So actually, the executive could do whatever he wished, but fortunately, there are three branches under the Constitution. The executive wanted to get rid of us. The court agreed with that. But the legislator, in the form of Senator William Langer from the Senate, convened that hearing board on Ellis Island, and that determined that we're, at least I got released. And I think the other 300 and so that were on Ellis Island were all released. But it's, so some of them, it took an additional year to do that.
Yes, it says the last one released from Ellis Island was not until 1948, and he was a German American.
That's correct. And you know, it wasn't just aliens that were interned. There were Germans who became American citizens that were actually denaturalized. They took their papers away so that they could intern them.
Well, why did they pick out these people? Because they were active, maybe in German organizations. You know, like you said, you were in when you were young. You know, singing in this choir that Doris Day's father ran, and so on. What, you know, was it things like that, or did they just do again arbitrarily based on what other maybe snitches were saying? Oh, this person is, you know, not a loyal American or something. Or how could they do that? Why did they do it?
I think, first of all, J. Edgar Hoover did have a list before Pearl Harbor of who were dangerous people. At least that he considered dangerous for, regardless what criteria he used. And some of them, like at my father's, after he died, I was able to, under the Freedom of Information Act, get his papers, and the first sheet said, and it was heavily redacted, the only words on the sheet were Karl Fuhr, which is my father's name, is a Nazi and a Bund member, signed JDL, the Jewish Defense League.
Oh, my gosh.
And those are the only words on that whole, the entire page is black except for that.
That is so interesting. My goodness, I never heard that before, Evan. Well, all right, we're coming to our next break. We will continue with this very interesting discussion when we get back. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-800-313-9443. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee study found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Carolyn Jaeger and Eberhard Fuhrer talking about German-Italian internment during World War II in the United States. We have a caller, Eb, but before we take the caller, let me just get a few things clear here. Now, would you say, or, you know, did the Japanese government help a lot in getting Congress, this congressional resolution with an apology and reparations for the Japanese people? Or did it, was it just a grassroots Japanese-Americans effort or a combination or what? Why are they so successful?
I think we have to give the Japanese kudos. They did hang together. They got together. They elected people. But in addition to that, I understand that the Japanese ambassador actually called on President Reagan to make sure that this apology would actually be issued. And this is one thing the German government just does not do. Mm-hmm. And I keep them informed about what I do because, after all, when I was interned, I was still a German citizen. I am an American citizen now. But they refused to actually do anything to support us.
Well, we know why. We know why. They're an occupied government. And they are not, they are, they, even if they wanted to, and I don't know how many of them want to, but they're under obligation to enforce the beliefs, the Allied beliefs about World War II. And so they just, but that's only part of the, well, they won't do anything. That's why I think they won't do anything. But there's another reason why the Germans get nothing. But let's move on to the Italians. Now, how did the Italians, have gotten a congressional resolution with an apology, but no reparations. Why is that?
There was an Italian congressman, and I can't remember his name, who later ran for Senate against Hillary in New York State, who got this resolution through Congress. He wanted to include us in the in that resolution, mm-hmm. and there was a faction in a non-attorney, as a matter of fact, but a very important guy in from Cincinnati who wrote to Congressman said, "No, we want our own resolution. We want to stand on our own," and that was the end of that. And there have been, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
And there have been subsequent efforts in to get it through Congress, but we've never gotten out of beyond a committee, either in the House or the Senate. We've never got it to the floor as such. So it's never been resolved.
Would you say that there's no explanation for this, really?
Absolutely, really. You know, there might be one difference, though. There is a peace treaty with Japan, but there is no peace treaty with Germany.
Well,
and I don't know
what effect
that might have.
Well, that brings up the whole thing about why the German government, won't help and won't ever stand up for Germans, either the ones here in the United States or Germans, you know, in Germany and all those Germans from the, from the East, Deutschwald, who were thrown out, you know, and they won't stand up for them either. They won't stand up for any of them because they're not, in my opinion, they're not a true German government standing for the German people. But the Japanese government is, and the Japanese got treated very, very harshly, almost similar to what they did in Germany. But then they stopped it, and everything was, you know, everything was made all right again. And like you say, they got a peace treaty, but that has never been done for Germany. And, you know, I think the people behind, I think there's a reason for this, which we'll go into. But, you know, for this, you know, the Japanese, I think, also get more that the climate today is so liberal and multicultural that they want to play up victimization of non-whites, non-Europeans. And so that's why it's become so popular with everyone to play up now more and more the Japanese internment. And of course, there were more Japanese than anyone else. But look at it, there's a whole lot more Germans than Italians, but that doesn't make any difference in the way Congress has handled it. So we know that the reasons are deeper than that. And we'll go into that, but let's take our caller. This is George from Texas. Good morning, George.
Yeah, good morning, George.
Hello?
Is George? Yes, hello.
Oh, it's Greg.
Greg. All right.
Yeah,
all
from right, Lake Greg. Dallas, Texas. I've been married to a German lady for a long time, so I'm always interested in things historically for my daughter and grandchildren. And I've had a book called Undue Process by Arno Kramer for some years about this subject. In fact, Mr. Eberhardt's name is in this book a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like he gave you a favorable telling of your story in that book?
Mr. Kramer was a little bit harsh on me, but actually there are other books too. One of which is a America's Invisible Gulag by Stephen Fox, who was a professor at Humboldt State University. He's a little bit harsh on us too, but nevertheless, I think he's pretty factual. And Fox is a little more careful with his facts. Kramer was a little loosey goosey on some of those things.
Well, why was Kramer harsh on you, Eberhard?
Well,
you think?
I'm trying to remember what he even said, but nevertheless, it's just that he wasn't exactly right on his facts and on the dates and all those kind of other things either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Greg, right?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a reunion down at Crystal City, Texas, on November 10th through the 12th. So if you'd like to be there, why, I'd be glad to talk with you.
November the 10th and the 12th.
Right, on Crystal City, Texas.
Right, yeah. No,
it's a conjunction with their spinach festival.
Ah. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, thank you for the question, and what particularly interested you about the, do you have any specific question about Kramer's book?
No, I would just, since you were, I'd seen your name in his book, I was just curious how his treatment of you or your family and others fit with your knowledge of the situation. So.
Well, I think he overstated the case on that there were a lot of Nazis. I don't remember actually meeting any Nazis while I was interned, at least officially party members. I'm for that they should actually publish the entire list of the Nazi Party membership.
Well, yeah, when I read the book, I kind of shook my head about the Nazi part because I think most of those people tried to be reasonably good American citizens.
Well, and that, my father really was a monarchist rather than he was more attuned to that. He really wanted the return of the Kaiser. Of course, the Kaiser was is almost as much anathema as Hitler became, and so that's kind of a non-popular position either.
Yeah, because let me just break in here for a minute, because a lot of right-wing thinking Germans would prefer to go back to a monarchy. They really would. They thought Germany did very well under that, and they don't like the liberal the liberals of today running things, which are really basically a lot of them are, they all have communist backgrounds and so on. So that is then put down, the whole right-wing thinking is just put down as wrong and even Nazi. Even though these people, a lot of these Germans did not like and do not like the Third Reich at all and don't stand up for it. But, you know, the whole thing, they're just demonized. It's just the right wing. You know, conservatives are just kind of demonized.
Well, what's disturbing particularly right now is that there's always talk about banning certain parties in Germany, and I don't understand that kind of thinking at all. That's very democratic to ban any kind of a party. I think they all should be permitted to exist and let the debate go forth and let the people decide based on the debate.
Sure.
Well, they should, of course. That's what's democratic. Well, thanks, Greg, for your call.
Yeah, thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it very much. Eberhard, why don't you use this time now to go on and talk about that reunion a little bit in Crystal City? You know, not too much, because probably not too many people are going to go to it. But, you know, just what it's about and how often you do this, you internees do this and so on.
Well, we haven't had a reunion there since for quite a while, but the State of Texas Historic Commission out of Austin is going to place 8 plaques on the site where the internment place was, which today is a education campus from grade school through high school with a football field and that kind of thing, and it looks very nice, and it's a proper use for the facility as such. The Japanese.
So is the facility still there? Are you telling us that there's the facility that was the Crystal City internment camp? There's anything still there of it?
There are a few places, a few concrete pads left. A certain there's some remnants of the swimming pool converted to the irrigation thing that we proposed way back then, there's a building that was in existence then that was used as a school room
mm-hmm.
for the children. And so there are 8 different plaques that the State of Texas Historic Commission is going to place on that facility on November the 10th.
And what do these plaques say? I mean, what are they?
Well, they're going to say that the Germans and Japanese were turned here together, along with people from Central or South America, And this is where this pool was. This is where the school was. This is where the front gate was, and that kind of thing. I'm not sure exactly what.
Is the Texas Historical Commission, is it a part of the Texas government?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So the Texas government is finally doing something more, but the federal government?
Yes.
Won't. Okay, good, we got that clear. Now, let's before we run out of time altogether, let's talk about this Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation Interpretive Learning Center that that is being, August 20th, it's coming right up. They're going to have their big grand opening. Now, this is the location of a Japanese internee camp, and they have turned it into something that's going to be like an American Auschwitz. I mean, really, you know, it's going to have all those kinds of features and be done for all for the same reasons. They have refurbished, or they have, you know, they've got the whole place there. Barracks and so on, and they're going to have a 3-day celebration, August 19th to the 21st, and this is in Wyoming. It's just one of the camps that the Japanese are in. But the government, you know, let me say, who is going to be there? Speakers include the big names that are coming there for this is Tom Brokaw. We know he wrote the book, you know, World War II.
Yeah, Senator Simpson.
Yes, as Senator Inouye from who was
Hawaii, right?
Hawaii, and Norman Mineta, who is also Japanese. I didn't realize he was Japanese, who had been communications secretary or something, and Senator Alan Simpson. And so, you know, it's a big deal. All these big names come, and they won't, you know, it's all about the Japanese. It's all about Japanese internment. And not that that shouldn't be, you know, not that I would hold, you know, think that, that shouldn't be done. But, you know, nothing like that is ever done for the others.
Well, this is part of the, they were able to get the Congress to give money to the Park Service to provide these facilities. And in addition to that, they are funded every year several million dollars to educate the public about the Japanese internment issue.
Okay,
and,
I didn't know that. Several million dollars. Well, that's how they do it. And so there you are. They've got, this is going to be, they say you know, they're going to show that it had surrounded by guard towers, barbed wire fences. Well, that's all good. That's all really good to show all this. It's going to be a world-class educational facility, they say, and an enduring recognition of the struggles of Japanese Americans before, during, and after the war. And I think this, they go along with this, as I said before, because they are non-white, and the big thing today is to put a lot of attention on the victims, non-white victims of the United States, but not on any kind of white victims.
Well, and this is really the crux of the matter, Carolyn, that it's easy, and everybody's happy. They said, well, we interned the Japanese because of their race. We'll give them $20,000. They're happy. We're happy. And since we're not part of that race, we're home free. Except the internment thing is really a political issue.
That's right.
Because when it says right here on this Circuit Court of Appeals thing, when the procedure is through executive action, the statute calls for no hearings in court or elsewhere. In other words, the executive can just put you away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's applicable to, it doesn't say they can put you away because you're Japanese or white or Indian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's, they can put you away, period, for your political beliefs. And that's a real danger.
Yes.
And I think everybody that's listening to this program should know that any kind of political thought that's anathema to the executive is subject to this law, which is still in existence.
And you had sent a note to me that that this Heart Mountain Foundation business here is funded by the U.S. Park Service, and it's going to study, it's going to sponsor with this government money, you know, that it gets, a study of the Auschwitz Germany site rather than a study of the Bataan Death March, which actually affected Americans directly. So again, they don't want to make the Japanese look bad anymore. They just want to keep making the Germans look bad. And all right, we are going to our last break, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, to conclude in 3 minutes.
Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're back for our last 5 minutes, Eberhard. My guest is Eberhard Fuhrer, and we have been having a long discussion for 2 days about the German-Italian internment. Now, in this note that I mentioned, of course, let me make it clear that the Heart Mountain Foundation, which is set up to run this Heart Mountain German, Japanese, ex-Japanese internment camp into a big visiting site.
Yeah, it's a visiting
funded,
site, right.
It's funded by the U.S. Park Service. So, you know, it's going to be a big site like Auschwitz, you know, where people come and can learn all about the history of what took place there. Now, as we said, they're sponsoring a study of the Auschwitz Germany site. I guess they want to, you know, follow in those footsteps. Now,
but that's a violation of the government orders that the funds that are given them for education about Japanese internment, not for anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Or a good point. Now, you said that the Park Service, this U.S. Park Service, refuses to do a study at the Crystal City, Texas site. Now, what did you mean by that?
Well, we've asked them to include Crystal City as part of the Park Service education program about internment. And they said, no, we can only do it for our Japanese places.
They actually said that.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's very discriminatory, isn't it?
Because that's the law the way the Congress passed it. It's exclusively for Japanese.
All right. Very, very interesting. I hope you heard that, listeners. Now, you know, I thought that we had covered everything, but now I just remember that in the we still have a couple minutes. I would like you to tell our listeners as briefly now how you got into doing what you're doing and what it amounts to and what you do in your work of getting this information out.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be probably the youngest guy that was actually interned, and I'm still physically able to present the internment story of Europeans. And so I do this because I feel obligated to do it for my parents' sake. And I also do it because in times of peril, I think the nation will take draconian action, like whether it's Pearl Harbor or the World Trade Center attack. And I just want to lay these things out so that we actually study this issue once and for all and determine, is internment the correct way to do it, the wrong way to do it, and if it is the right way to do it, what's the way to do it without undue trampling on human rights and human civil rights.
Well, you know, it's only going to be individuals and individual private groups and so on that think about this and talk about this, because the government is not interested in what we think or what they're going to do things their own way. But so you go around and you speak, and some of these speaking engagements are arranged by various organizations, and then you're active in this Crystal City organization of internees, right?
Yes.
And so I just encourage people to go to those websites and they can read all about this if they are interested, and I hope you're interested, listeners. So, Eberhard, I want to thank you so much. You've been a delight to have, as always.
Well, thank you very much, Carolyn Yeager. You're a special lady, and I appreciate everything you do to get the truth out.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Bye for now, listeners. Come back tomorrow.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years.